Welcome to the Cannabis Maker Podcast. You are sitting here and listening to us here with Liam. Liam is hanging out in Spain, as most of us know, and the wonderful Antoinette Gomez. So Antoinette, without further ado, I'm not even going to try and introduce yourself because I don't want to mess it up at all. Please introduce yourself and let us know what you're doing inside of the cannabis industry, please.
Thanks so much, Corey, for the introduction. I know. I'm a mouthful. I have so many things that under my plate, so I feel that it's totally understandable. Hi guys, I'm Antoinette Gomez. I'm the CEO and founder of Pleasure Peaks, a cannabinoid-based sexual health company. That's my main company that I've been doing for the past 8 years in the cannabis industry globally. It's my passion, my baby, and I can't wait to get into why sexual health deserves to be at the table and why we need to raise awareness on natural alternatives in cannabis therapies and just natural therapies across the board. Since I've been in the industry for 8 years now fighting for cannabis and medical research, I have noticed tremendous opportunities in the cannabis industry outside of sexual health. And that's why it has brought me to creating my own cannabis business accelerator. So I started the Green Rush program as an accelerator to help people understand how to build a compliant legal cannabis business. I find that there's so much misinformation out there. So I wanted a place that has all of the resources that you would need to build a business. So we have over 200 mentors on the program, from lawyers to insurance brokers to people that work with banks, like payment processors, accountants, everything under the everything that you would need to have a compliant business, as well as funding and access to licensees globally. On top of that, I've also started the Cannabis Built by Blacks Expo. I wanted to have a virtual conference that really highlighted Black excellence within the cannabis industry. That was really exciting. I did that for the first time this year, 2021, in February, and we had over 700 attendees and over 40 speakers from over four continents. Right now, Canada has 1% of our legal industry is Black, and we have 1% of our industry is also Latino, and 1% of our industry is Indigenous. So we have like this 1% grass ceiling that I really wanted to tap into and move the needle on diversity. So that's another initiative that I have, which is the Cannabis Built by Blacks Expo. And I have a cannabis jewelry line because I love jewelry. And I speak at all these expos, and every time I'm looking at all these booths, I never found cannabis jewelry that was aesthetically pleasing for me. And if it was, it had these ridiculous price tags on it. So I do what I love in the space because I feel that anybody and everybody can, but I want everybody to be conscious about the plant, knowing our history so we don't repeat the past, and knowing our parameters so we can be safe and protected, but also knowing the potential so we can really have help cannabis truly help humanity in terms of sustainability and so many other things as well. So that's what I do in a nutshell. So thanks, Corey. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, that is a rather large nutshell. That is a lot of different things going on. You've touched on some absolute wonderful points and some hot button issues, which definitely want to get into. The thing that you mentioned as well, there kind of sexual health, and I wanted you to kind of clarify that a little bit because I don't think people might know what that actually means. And then when you kind of introduce cannabis into that as well, I think that's also something that is kind of foreign to people. So do you also want to kind of expand on that and what Pleasure Peaks is doing and what you're providing to the community and that in that way?
Completely, yes. I would love to, because I find that there's so much room for interpretation on that, and I get all sorts all the time. But what sexual health means to Pleasure Peaks and why we've decided to go into this realm is my background is in holistic nutrition. And when I was working at a chronic pain clinic 8 years ago, we had a lot of patients that were suffering from MS, Crohn's disease, cancer, veterans, things that are very severe in pain, chronic pain clinic, right? So what when I was there, it was really eye-opening to see how many people were suffering with pain every day, right? And it's something that you don't usually see. So that's when I really learned about compassionate care. And then when I noticed that a lot of chronic pain ailments also bleed into sexual health ailments like endometriosis, fibroids, sexual assault survivors, cervical cysts, ovarian cancer. So there's many things that can happen within in terms of sexual health and trans people as well that I felt deserved to raise awareness on, but specifically endometriosis. That was why we built Pleasure Peaks in the first place. I had a specific patient that we were working with, and that's when I noticed that one out of 10 women have endometriosis. And endometriosis is the vaginal lining that is at constant inflammation, and it's the endometrial tissue that's growing there, which shouldn't be. So it's like a tissue that's growing in abnormal places. So sometimes endometriosis can be in the lungs, the legs, but it's incredibly painful because that tissue is shedding the same time of your period. So it's a very painful experience, but one out of 10 women experience it. And if we think about those statistics, one out of 10 people have cancer, and we don't really think of like everybody knows what cancer is, but nobody knows what endometriosis is. And that's when I just realized that we really need to raise awareness on sexual health ailments, but specifically endometriosis, because people are suffering. I find that right now, if you're diagnosed with endometriosis, you're told to go on birth control pills, hormonal therapy, or you're told to get a hysterectomy, which is surgically removing your vagina or your uterus or both. And this is happening to, people at a really young age. And I felt that as a person who wants children eventually one day in my life, I felt that it was really hard to have these conversations constantly. And I felt that it was worth, trying natural alternatives. What I noticed is that a lot of women who had endometriosis were already telling me that they were self-prescribing cannabis, that they were, smoking it, and it was really helpful for them. But when I was at that clinic, we were learning about so many different types of natural alternatives. We did have topicals because we had a compassion model. This is during the MMAR times in Canada, which is the first medical marijuana program in Canada. And so we did have different types of topicals, but I felt that there could be something better. So that's when we tried lubricants and suppositories. And that's when we were finding that it was actually a lot more helpful than just smoking, because it was at that direct application. And it was game changer. Her words, not mine. And I was so happy about that. But around period, it was still very painful. So we tried different types of products, including suppositories. And that was really, it opened up a whole new realm, because these women were told that they would never bear children. And after 6 months of the use of suppositories, she got pregnant. So it was really interesting to see all of these things come to life. And I was dating a doctor at the time, so we were finding out all of these different things that we can do in sexual health, which is fascinating to me. But it takes a lot of money to do research, which has really just spearheaded my journey on fighting for sexual health. So that's what sexual health really is that it's an array of things. But what I say is that if you don't have a healthy sex life, you don't have a healthy life. And there's a lot of people that suffer in silence simply because it's too taboo to talk about. But there's so many different things about it as well. I've heard so many horror stories of people, especially women and vulva carriers, going to hospitals complaining that they're in a ton of pain, but getting told that it's their period, right? Like, there's so many systemic things when it comes to sexual health, because women's sexual pleasure is constantly censored and oppressed, and it's not believed because it's something that you can't really see. And there's a lot of work to do in this area, and it fascinates me, and I just love it. So we're doing tons of work in sexual health research. We have an amazing CMO that we've worked with, our chief medical officer, who's doing incredible work with us, and we're only looking to grow. It's crazy that we've been doing this for 8 years, but we're still just at the beginning of cannabis therapies.
Wow. That I mean, if anybody hasn't been taking notes and doing research on what is going on with Antoinette and Pleasure Peaks now, I hopefully everyone's interest is up there. This is extremely interesting to me, especially with like the stigma related issues that you're kind of dealing with here. You mentioned it already. It's definitely difficult to just talk about sexual health in general, but then you're also throwing cannabis into the mix. So can you talk about some of those challenges? I mean, you know, I know we kind of have a short time, so I don't know if there's just a couple to pick out, but there must be some big ones in there. It'd be wonderful to hear about those.
Yeah, most definitely. It's just like, where do I start? You know, it's when you're so passionate, but you know so much about it, and it's so systemic. But how does cannabis specifically 100%. Work when it comes to sexual health? I would love to talk about it. And yet, you like touched on it, the taboo of just speaking to people. When we had to raise capital, I had to be in these big, large, you know, suit rooms talking about vaginismus and vaginas. So it's been such a really beautiful journey on just breaking down the stigma on like sexual pleasure. But how does cannabis work in terms of helping people in terms of sexual health? Cannabinoids have incredible medicinal benefits. So many benefits that we're like just learning, and more are coming. But what we're noticing is, from anecdotal evidence that we're finding, is that cannabis can be incredibly effective at helping endometriosis, but not directly. It does it naturally by helping the area in terms of like CBD, known to reduce inflammation, right? So if we're reducing the inflammation, it can actually allow the skin to heal itself, so it can not have those outbreaks again. So it just like prevents it from starting in the first place. And that's what's really beautiful, is that a lot of chronic pain and issues comes from the nerve endings, right? And that's kind of how I put it together in my brain at the beginning, is when I was working at the clinic, I had a lot of patients that had MS. And, you know, I was finding that a lot of them were finding it effective because it was the nerve endings that were in constant inflammation. That's what creates the pain. So when I was learning about endometriosis, yet again, it was the nerve endings in the vaginal lining. So it didn't take like a doctor really to put it together. It just took someone to really hear patients that they were suffering and that there could be something else out there. And there wasn't. So that's kind of where we started. After working with many doctors, we've learned so many fascinating things, like how cannabinoids are naturally vasodilators, which I think is so fascinating. And if you think about vasodilators, the most prominent one we know about is Viagra, right? It's why when we get stoned or consume cannabis edibles, you know, our eyes are like blazing red. It's because we're opening up the blood vessels to allow more blood flow. So if we can use the application directly on the clitoris or the vulva, right, or the penis, it can really help with more sensitivity to touch and arousal, which makes it a lot more pleasurable for those sexual experiences. And, you know, when I first got into the cannabis industry, I remember going like to Woman Grow in 2016 and hearing a doctor talk about CBD for PTSD and being so fascinated on how effective it really is for our complex traumas. And once I understood that, I just easily made the correlation that it could very like possibly help assault survivors. And after that happened to me, it very much did. So it's just what I love about cannabis and what I love about my background in holistic nutrition is that you're never really giving a person a diet or specific diet. It's just you have to understand all of the different benefits so you can make those educated choices for yourself. And then that's how that experience really changes. And that's why we don't just have one product. We have so many products that we only have one line, and we have multiple lines that we're designing already because there's so many different things that come to our sexual health. And what I love about cannabis is that it's an opportunity to create personalized medicine. And I think that's the future of medicine as well.
Oh, thanks for sharing that. You know, you also right at the beginning of that also touched on, you know, kind of the challenges that you've taken on here. I think like I'm really trying to highlight, because I don't really think many people understand this. You know, not only are you mentioning these uncomfortable topics to boardrooms full of men, but I mean, you're also a woman talking about them. And then number two, you're a person of color talking about them as well. you know, we've shared, you know, candidly together about the challenges that I've seen in the industry, you know, with women in particular. The, you know, just the downright mistreatment of them on production floors and the cultivation facilities just, you know, makes me extremely upset. You know, what did that also, you know, challenges bring on with that? And, you know, maybe if you can also expand on, you know, what are some of the things that need to change right now to make things easier? Because as you mentioned in your introduction as well, you know, with you doing Cannabis Built by Blacks, the amount of representation there is laughable at best. I mean, it's frustrating. So, yeah, I'd love to hear about that as well.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been really interesting. I find that I'm very comfortable talking about sex unapologetically, and I can speak into a boardroom full of suits. It doesn't matter. It's worth talking about. It's worth fighting for. And I think that's what drive you need to have in terms of cannabis. You're always going to have the stigma. I remember being the director of Canada at Women Grow and putting together tons of events for cannabis companies, legal cannabis companies, and people still wouldn't come to our events because of the stigma. And the stigma is still heavily prevalent today. But in terms of, you know, women getting involved, it was very much an old boys club. It kind of always has been since legalization, which is really unfortunate. Now with like the dip in the world with COVID, I feel like there's a lot more opportunity at hand, which is really beautiful. But yet again, I just want to share that I'm not an excuse-based person. And I feel that there's a lot of people like that when it comes to the social equity or just diversity issue. And what I mean by that is that I hear a lot of, I want to, Antoinette. I really do. I really want to have a diverse board. I really do want to have diverse hiring. I just can't find them. And I can't stand hearing that all the time, but I do. And, you know, I find that there's a lot of people that have a lot of power that can do a lot of good in terms of moving the needle on diversity and social equity. And I think that they might not even realize that because they really go towards being a victim first. Not saying that they can't find it, knowing that there are resources there, but the language that they use are very exclusive, right? The campaigns that they use are very exclusive. They don't show people of color. They don't show women. They don't show things that are geared towards them. And if it is, it's to be capitalized on. And I think that's what they're not understanding. So I think in terms of, you know, how can we get more women involved? How can we get minorities involved? You put your money where your mouth is. You do your part. You know, I come on Clubhouse, and every time I'm on Clubhouse, I say, hey, drop me a, you know, a coffee emoji in my DMs, and I'll send you a link for a 15-minute pro bono call with me. I'll give you my time. I would love to help you, see if I can help you in any way. And I just do that because I know what it's like being in this industry. It's hard. It's so small. Everybody really knows that everyone, but at the same time, it's so hard to penetrate and get involved with. So it's really important that we create those resources, that we be that change. It's really what it is. It's not something like, where is that resource? It's like, you kind of have to do it. And I think that's why the Cannabis Built by Blacks Expo that I put on myself as one person got 700 people to show up with over 40 speakers. I think that's insane. And
that is insane.
And then the Green Rush program, we're now working with like the world's largest cannabis companies to create these events, programs, and scholarships for minorities to get involved, and, you know, creating accessible and affordable courses for people to understand compliance so they're just safe and protected in this industry. And I think I've done that single-handedly, and I think that we all really just need to do that until there is something large enough that's really helping. Like in Canada, we don't have a single social equity program. And I think the Green Rush program is the closest thing that we have to that. And I think that's what we're doing so successful. So I think that's what it is. It's like, if you really want to be a part of this change, I think we need to stop victimizing ourselves and just be a part of the solution and do what you can. It starts with your own brand, your own company, what you can do within your own space. And collectively, we can make a change.
I'm going to tap in there as well and say you definitely opened my eyes and touched on a really, really important point, because it's something that I feel we definitely don't have enough of over here in Europe, is the social equity part. And I was just kind of wondering, especially for our listeners who are sitting in Europe and who are thinking, you know, what really are the next steps? I mean, could you expand a little bit on the Green Rush program and really kind of what the key topics are that you're seeing come out in this space.
Yeah, so like the term, like what is social equity, right? But the term social equity is predominantly being used right now in the space. And it's because we're trying to, you know, help justice in terms of the harms that have been done to marginalized peoples for generations in terms of cannabis and the war on drugs. With that being said, people of color have been, you know, incarcerated at like unproportionate rates, and it's just unfair. So to undo those injustices, they believe that people of color should have access to licenses, funding, and to be a part of the industry. What I like is that every state is kind of doing their own thing in terms of social equity, because we don't know which is the best way and best approach to really figure it out, right? So they've been doing it in a few ways, and unfortunately, I've heard mixed feelings on every state, really. But what I did in the Green Rush program, I did because it was also the time of George Floyd's passing. And remember, I'm 1% in this industry in Canada. So everybody was looking to me about, well, what are we doing? And it was a very traumatizing time for people like me. And honestly, for anyone seeing a human go through anything like that. But I just had enough, and I was like, I can't be this only token. This is enough. And I just figured out, like, why aren't there enough minorities involved? Why aren't people getting involved in the market? Like, what is preventing them? What are those barriers? And it came down to these four pillars that we put into the program, which is education. People don't have education or information. You know, there's so much misinformation. There's people that are starting their own brands, especially in Canada, but they're not doing it compliantly. And once you do, you can't work within the industry because you can't work with past convictions, and they will not take your brand if you're selling already illegally. It just makes no sense. But a lot of people are doing that because they think they need to proof the market. It's actually not how you would do that within this industry specifically. So the education component is incredibly important. And the second pillar is access to support. There's so many gatekeepers. People feel like they're solo entrepreneurs in the cannabis industry, and they do want a network. So what I love is that we have support networks every Monday. All of our students get to, you know, jump on a call and talk about what they're doing in their business, share tips with other business entrepreneurs as well, and they have that support network. And on top of that, if they did need support in a specific field, whether that's like medical research or retail and cannabis or, you know, marketing, we would go into our database and we would pick a mentor that would be great for you. For like Corey, for example, if you were wanting to be a grower and cultivator, Corey would be an amazing person to show you what that career would look like. So that's our second pillar, which is our support and mentorship, which is incredibly crucial because a lot of people start their own brand and then they leave within a year in this industry, right? Because it's just too stressful and they need that support. The third pillar is access to manufacturing and licensing. So licenses are incredibly expensive, especially in Canada. They're so expensive that why even bother, right? If you did want to have your own product in this industry, as many people do, what we show them is many partners that have licenses, if they can white label their brand, whether that's CBD or THC or both, and we do that globally. So we have our global partners that we worked with. You know, this is after me speaking internationally and creating these networks. So I have that access for them. And if they needed, you know, access to funding, which is our fourth pillar, I've raised capital many times in this industry, and I've wasted so many times going to the traditional banks and, you know, other things. But now I have these partners that do debt equity loans, that do capital raises. I know one bank that is incredible at giving e-commerce CBD businesses loans from like 10 to 50,000 within a week. And then I have VC funds that, you know, just raised $70 million a few weeks ago for another cannabis company. And I did that because if I do find that young mind that, you know, thinks of cannabis as the next cure for cancer or whatever, you know, I want to make sure that they have everything they need. So that's the Green Rush program in a nutshell. It's kind of like the master class of weed. You can do anything you want. We just show you like how to do it compliantly and give you all the resources that you would need with support as well.
Thank you so much for sharing that one. I know a lot of people who are definitely screaming for support programs and outreach like that, especially in this industry, like you said, where, you know, people come in and within the first year, so many people drop off because of the stress and because of the load, and because a lot of people don't realize how much it actually takes to be active and involved in the cannabis industry. So I really, really appreciate you sharing like just the proper insight on what you guys are doing. I feel like you've definitely inspired a couple of people in Europe to kind of, yeah, get their shit together with the social equity programs. Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that, Antoinette.
Where can people find this wonderful Green Rush program? We have to let them know where to find this thing.
Yeah, the Green Rush program is at AntoinetteGomez.com, and our Instagram is at Green Rush Program.
Okay, so I'll make this question just a little bit quick, because you know, as the title indicates here, Forbes 30 under 30, there's been a little bit of publicity your way. So I do want to ask you a quick question regarding that. But just a quick heads up for everybody in the audience, if you do have a question, please get that ready, and we'll start pulling you up to stage there, and we'll make that about 10 minutes and get that complete. So, Antoinette, do you find that more publicity presents a certain level of responsibility to, you know, of course, push the negative stigma aside, but all of these other, you know, quite difficult challenges and complicated challenges that you have to deal with, you know, and what challenges is that leading to?
It's an interesting question. Like, yeah, does publicity have a lot of power and stress, and how does that play a role into my life? I get a lot of natural publicity. People are always asking me, who's my publicist? And I don't have a publicist. I just do work that's worth sharing. I think that's what it is. I don't think there's many people that are doing my work. You know, people say sex sells. I think, you know, it's been interesting. I've had really lots of trouble getting publicity for the Cannabis Built by Blacks Expo, funny enough. But it's really important. Is it really important, like, publicity? It depends, like, what you're doing, I think. You know, if it really matters to your business, on if you need to, if you're B2B or, you know, direct to consumer. But what I will say is that publicity has a lot of power. And publicity has a lot of power at shifting and breaking the stigma on perspective on cannabis, right? Shifting the perspective of cannabis. I think when people think of cannabis sexual health, they're like, what? Medical cannabis? Maybe this actually could be something, right? It's doing this or whatever. So a lot of people can't see cannabis in other areas. So I think publicity definitely helps the industry as a whole. And I guess that is a responsibility that comes with it. I've seen campaigns in the cannabis industry. I think I told you, Corey, I'm so upset. I saw a campaign that said, you know, our flower is always going to be 25% and higher. Flower is always going to be THC 25% and higher. I was like, who gives a shit? Like, who cares? Like, that's amazing. It's, you're gonna get like super baked, but like, what does that tell consumers? That the high THC is the best weed? Because it's not. Like, there's a lot more to cannabis than THC. Obviously, there's so many other cannabinoids and terpenes that make great experiences. And to the uneducated consumer, which is majority of people, because hello, we're still all very new, and yes, we know so much, but there's still so much to learn. I think it's really important that these campaigns have merit to them. And I think that's why understanding our history is really important, so we don't repeat the past, right? And that's what I'll say, that there is tons of responsibility and publicity, and I think that should always be directed to broadening the minds of and perspective of cannabis, the way that, well, much more than mad reefer and everything that's been told for generations. We're still fighting against that.
Well said. Definitely. I was going to ask you if you had any other, you know, parting wisdom or anything to leave with anybody. I don't know if that's kind of the bow that you wanted to put on with that, but I mean, is there anything else that you'd like to add before we open it up to everybody down below and, you know, let you loose for the rest of the day?
I just want to say, I promise you, you can find a career in this industry that you love, that can make you incredibly fulfilling. You don't have to work in this industry, but if you're drawn towards it, you can 1,000% do it. We're still at the beginning phases. There's so much opportunity. It's so exciting. I'm like, it never ceases to amaze me, from all sorts of things, to working with DJs, literally, to creating like cannabis hangover cures, to working on, you know, crazy medicine that is insane. So there's, if you feel a calling to it, it's worth doing, you know, and if there's stigma, it's worth brushing off, because there's a great payoff. It's a life that is, you know, authentic to yourself that you may enjoy. So if you do feel that, do go for it, because there's tons of space for you. The space is not overcrowded in any means. It doesn't matter what anybody says.
I love it. Wonderful. Antoinette Gomez, everybody, thanks a million for joining us today on the Cannabis Maker podcast. Hopefully we can do this again sometime and talk about some crazy successes that are happening with Pleasure Peaks. And I mean, who knows what else you're going to get involved to. I feel like you'll find seven more things to get involved in tomorrow.
I love it. It's so true. That's why I love having my students, because I can't do it all, but I can live vicariously through them all. So I love getting to do everything every day.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And that wraps up the 13th episode of the Cannabis Maker podcast featuring Antoinette Gomez. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to us today. If you're listening to us on Spotify, make sure that you give us a follow. And on Apple, if you can also give us a follow, leave a review. It's muchly appreciated. If you know someone who would like to be a guest on the Cannabis Maker podcast, please email us at info@cannabismaker.io. Again, that email address is info@cannabismaker.io. Stay high and stay happy, everyone.